Our scripture reading for this evening's lesson is taken from Psalm 99. Psalm number 99 and verse 1. Psalm 99. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. Once again, good evening. Glad that you are here present for our afternoon, evening worship. I just want to say it's very commendable upon your part to be here with some of the rain that we've had, but I know that I'm glad you're here because I like talking to people as opposed to talking to myself, and I know more importantly God is glad that you are here as well. Tonight we're going to look at a psalm that really magnifies the name of the Lord our God, and I've titled this, The Lord Our God is Holy. We're going to see how that fits in. We're going to see how the song that we just sang fits into our psalm tonight. There is no title ascribed to it. It's just Psalm 99. You know, for us to fully understand God, we need to understand what holiness is. It's set apart. It's set above. It's treated different from common things. One of the great lessons we learn from the old law is that of the holiness of God and how it God's holiness is often compared to things that are unholy to draw a stark contrast between the two. Those who understand the holiness of God, they will not pollute His worship with their own inventions, their own designs, their own patterns, their own methods. We see it three times in this short psalm of nine verses we're called to worship God. And three times it's going to tell us that the Lord our God is holy. Verse 3, verse 5, and verse 9, and in these stanzas we sing the power of God, the righteousness of God, and then the mercy of God. So with that, let us look at our psalm. Let's start with verses 1, 2, and 3, and if this were a song and songbook, this would probably be verse 1. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, He is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. What do we see here? Well, we see the first three words, the Lord reigneth. He is the king that sits on his throne. If you look at Psalm 97 and verse 1, which is probably on the same page, one right before, it says, the Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. So here we see the whole earth is to rejoice. The whole earth is to praise the name of God. Frank Chesser wrote a book called The Spirit of Liberalism. And in the first chapter, he talks about the fact that liberals, they don't tremble. Because if they did, they wouldn't be liberals. Because then they'd be ones that like the law. The psalmist time and time again says how he loves the law of God. Well, here in Psalm 99 it says, let the people tremble. Why? At the awesome power of God. At the majesty and the things that He has done for us. 2 Peter 2:10 says, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. English Standard Version says, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones. We don't need to blaspheme God. Instead, we need to treat Him with reverence and with respect. If you put your finger there in Psalm 99, let's look in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, for now we'll look at the first two verses. We will come back and revisit this in our conclusion of the sermon. But Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2. In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. What's happening to Isaiah? Well, he's describing really when God calls him to be His prophet. He mentioned it in chapter 1, and then some story happens, and he goes back and re-mentions it in chapter 6. And he says that he saw God sitting upon His throne, His train, or the garment He was wearing, filled the entire room. There were cherubims all about. They had six wings apiece. Two, it says, covered their face. Two covered their feet. And with two they did fly. Boy, talk about that beautiful imagery there that Isaiah is seeing when he sees close to the throne of God. If you go back to Psalm 99, it says He sits between the cherubims. Well, what does that mean? Now we're talking about a little different kind of angel. That means the Lord is in his holy temple. Well, if you think back to when God gives the dimensions for the Ark of the Covenant, and what are on the Ark of the Covenant? There are two cherubims. And in the most holy place, in the tabernacle at least, that's where the high priest went into the most holy place once a year. And then on top of the mercy seat between the two cherubim is where God would manifest himself. They didn't see God, but God would manifest himself and speak to the high priest, and they would have a conversation happen once a year. Well, here he says that he sits between the cherubim, so he's bringing back that idea. But if you close out verse 1, he says, let the earth be moved. Hebrew means literally to stagger. Well, what does that mean? It's not God that conforms to man, but man conforms to what God has said. God is sitting on his holy throne in his temple. Let the people move to meet what he said. Paul asks the question in Galatians 2:10. He says, do I now persuade men of the Lord? He says, I'm preaching for God, but the people will be affected. 2 Corinthians 5:11, Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. He says, I know the power of God, so I'm trying to teach you what God says. You don't have to face the consequences. Verse 2 talks about the Lord is great, and also his name, he is high above the people. Therefore, verse 3, he is holy. So he says, let them praise thy great and thy terrible name, for he is holy. Terrible is mighty, it's majestic, it's wonderful, it's awesome, it's worthy of our respect. As a side note, I think we overuse the word awesome in our society. Because when you really think about here, the name of God is awesome. But when somebody does something good in a sports game, they also say it's awesome, but the two aren't the same kind of awesome. Here, God, there is only one God. He is holy. Look at his power. Since he has all this power, let us worship him. Stanza number one. Our second point is the righteousness of God. Really, verses 4 and 5, but let's read 3, 4, and 5. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Notice here that the Lord, or that it says he loves judgment, he establishes equity, execute righteousness, and judgment. What's that mean? The character of God, the Lord God himself will do what is right. He himself is righteous. It's part of his being, and it's a part of his character. When people try to describe God, they often go to the facts that God can't lie, and they go to some of the more quoted verses, which that works. But I like looking here, because this also shows us the nature of God. He is righteous, and he will do always what is right, execute righteousness in Jacob, talking about Israel. But he also did right by Jacob, and so he'll do right by those who are of Jacob. When the psalmist writes this, he's talking about the Israelites. Today he's talking about spiritual Israel, which is the Lord's church. And so here we have the second call to worship. Verse 5, exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. Why? For he is holy. That was 2. The righteousness of God. We see fearful power, uncompromising justice, and tender mercy. Now our third stanza, verses 6 through 9, the mercy of God. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that called upon his name, they called upon the Lord, and he answered them. And he spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answeredest them, O Lord our God, thou wast a God that forgavest them, thou that tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. What do we see in verse 6? Moses, Aaron, and even Samuel, they were flawed men. They weren't perfect by any means. Moses struck the rock, which had spoken to it. Aaron fashioned the golden calf. He gave in to the people. And Samuel appointed his sons. And we know the benefit that they did not serve God's people. And the nation itself, they sought out many inventions. But each of these people called on the Lord in behalf of themselves and the people, and note that God heard them. They're not perfect, but they were still trying to live a perfect life. Verse 7, talk about that cloudy pillar. You remember that's how he led them through the wilderness. Though they sinned, their lives were characterized by obedience, and therefore God forgave them. Sometimes there's a sinful approach, verse 8, to our inventions, and God took vengeance on them, and yet, if obedient, he'll even forgive those that invented those things. God forgives those that truly repent. And so what's that third call to worship? Verse 9, again, exalt the Lord our God at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Now what's the song we just sang? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is and evermore shall be. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power and love and purity, merciful and mighty. Let's quickly go to Isaiah chapter 6, and you'll see that this is not the only time that we see holy three times, and there's a reason for that. Isaiah chapter 6, we'll start again in verse 1 and we'll wind up in verse 3. Isaiah 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And it stood above the seraphims, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. So what are the seraphims? What are they saying to each other? Holy, holy, holy. Let's look in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. Go to the end of the Bible now. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 8. You may have already figured out where this one's going. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. So what are these beasts that John sees in a vision? They're crying out, Holy, holy, holy. What did the psalmist say in Psalm 99 and 3? Worship the Lord, for he is holy. Verse 6, worship the Lord, verse 5, for he is holy. Verse 9, worship the Lord, why? Because he is holy. Holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. Psalm 96 and 9 says, Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. He is a holy God. We are called to be a holy people, and we are to worship him in a manner that offers him praise. Are you doing that? Do you worship the Lord? Do you count it a joy when you get to assemble with other brothers and sisters in Christ and offer a praise to him, or is it a drag? It shouldn't be. Are you trying to make God move to conform to your life, or are you conforming your life to his? You're the one that moves, not God. Are you living the life that God has called you to be as a Christian? You hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. Sins are washed away, find that watery grave, a new creature, and then what? You remain faithful unto death. Are you doing that? If not, I can think of no better time than right now to come back and get back on track through repentance and prayer. We'd love to assist you in that journey. Whatever your need may be tonight, we can help in any way. Please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.